Okay, we have Des Mitchell on the line. How are you, Des?
Yeah, very well indeed. Thanks for the opportunity to share today.
And how are things in Coolgardie on this fine day?
Well, I have to say, Alan, having flown out of Perth this morning, it's a little bit warmer here. The skies are blue, and it's a very easy place to relax.
Oh, good man, good man. Now, you are the principal now of the Christian Aboriginal Parent Directed Schools, or school in Coolgardie.
Coolgardie, yeah, I am, and it's an absolute privilege to be in the role that I'm in and in this season of time.
I would dare say that not too many people are aware of the school and what you do there, Des. Could you? How long has it been going?
Well, for over 40 years.
Over 40 years.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story of some early Aboriginal pioneers, and prior to that, some early missionaries who really just tapped into some cleverness of the local Wangai people, and just had a sense, if you like, a calling. I think Blues Brothers, a calling from God,
yep.
and a desire to provide an education for Aboriginal young people that could help them become the leaders of tomorrow.
And it was established because there wasn't sufficient education available for Aboriginal children, or was not catering to their needs, or what was the purpose of that?
Yeah, look, it's hard to know, having not been at that point in time, but I think there were, and my today's experience, and I think it's a reflection of yesteryear, is that there are discerning Aboriginal families who want their kids to have a great education. And at the time, there just wasn't a provision that ideally suited their needs. And for the Aboriginal community, they're very connected to land. And so to have a school experience in a land that's familiar with community members who share an equal conviction created a very unique environment, allowing young people and families to thrive.
Right. Is it a K to 12 campus, or what do you cover?
It is. It's very unique. It's K to 12 with a hostel, and our students join us from Western Australia, Northern Territory, and as far as the Queensland border.
Is that a fact? That is huge, catchment area. And and is this because there are not other Aboriginal Christian schools available?
I think there's not many. What I've learnt is, particularly the community I serve, very humble people, but the experiences that others have had speak for themselves. And so, word of mouth travels far and wide. And so it's attracted families literally far and wide from places like Beagle Bay, way up north, Fitzroy, Halls Creek, Broome, Warburton, outback areas of Northern Territory and Mount Isa, Queensland border. There's something about what's offered here which is very affirming, develops character amongst the young people, and gives them both a hope and a sense of future and a strong sense of purpose that they can and will make a difference to the communities they serve.
So how many students would you have there from that huge catchment? Sounds like you've got a huge school.
It does, doesn't it? Well, there's about 95 at the moment in our campus,
right.
Which is contrast. Having served in previous schools, upwards of 2,500, it's a very different context here. But of those 95 students, most of them are within our hostel. And there are staff teams who help look after them, if you like, in those kind of after-school hours.
Right.
And then they, you know, they have their daytime experience as on the day campus. So it in one sense, it doesn't sound like a big number, but let me tell you, having got to know many individual students, it provides space for their personality and a wider, more importantly, understanding of their life experience and the unique nature, the unique context in which they join us.
Right, and do you have non-Aboriginal students, or is it purely Aboriginal?
There are some non-Aboriginal students. Yeah, there are some non-Aboriginal students, but at least 80% of our students are from Aboriginal families.
Excellent. And do they incorporate any Aboriginal culture in their education?
They do, both in a curricular sense and in a, if you like, a co-curricular sense. In a curriculum sense, there's a program. It's a very successful program that runs Australia-wide. In fact, one of the board members of the CAPS group, whose first name is Harry, was one of the early originators of a Bush Rangers program dedicated, like an outdoor education experience. And just a personal note on that, 2 weeks ago, I was out bush with students, listening to them identify where you can find wood, trees that are most ideal for the creation of spears. And just to be clear, duty of care, we weren't actually practicing spear throwing, but we're actually looking for the right wood. But they knew where to find it. They knew how to treat it. And there was a shared insight on how to procure wood in a way that takes out the knots and is most useful from a hunting perspective. So that's an in-curriculum program where we both provide some knowledge, but they also share knowledge amongst their peers. That's if you like, curriculum. That's planned, and there are many other elements within the ordinary school program, whether it be math lessons, English, studies of society, environment, or other. And one good example, even if I'm speaking to them in an assembly, I remind them about Eddie Mabo and his storytelling ability, so impressive that he attracted the Silks from Canberra, who consequently got on board, and that was the origins of Mabo. Mm. So, you know, the power of storytelling, he was high, you know, he was very persuasive. And so that's another example of how, Aboriginal culture and its importance is integrated into the ordinary life of the school. I might add, I am a learner amongst learners. When I listen to students and they talk to me about how to catch goannas, the best way to catch goannas, where to be upstream, how to come downstream, how to subsequently use the moisture from a goanna to make damper, honestly, the insight and knowledge they have is quite breathtaking and so impressive in their context. So information is shared in the curriculum, but it's also shared as part of yarning and actually sharing the skills and expertise they have.
Mm. Hey, actually, I can just listening to you there reminded me of a time I had some Wangai friends up at Menzies, and they took me out bush, and it is an incredible experience to be in the bush, yeah, with Aboriginal people, and their knowledge is unbelievable. But I suppose it's a knowledge which has been sort of learnt over many, many, many generations, and it would have been a great experience for you.
Yeah, well, it is a great experience, and you know, their connectedness to each other, the honouring of relationships, the honouring of cousins, the honouring of relatives, both close and distant. There's a real people space that says, you know what, people matter, and I love that about their community, and I love that about their culture. Mm. And you're right in terms of learning things from them. I had my first Easter experience out bush with a bush tomb, reflecting on the Easter story. And I was just amazed to see the kids acting it out in a bush setting. And in the midst of it all, one of the local elders sharing with me, just pointing out a particular tree that's got a particular medicinal benefit. And it was just incidental as part of being on location. So, yeah, they have an amazing knowledge and an incredible connectedness to nature.
Mm. Now, the Christian school is referred to as a parent-directed school. Now, a lot of private Christian schools are parent-controlled, but I'm intrigued about the parent-directed aspect of it. What does that entail?
Yeah, well, at the heart of it is, who knows children the best? The parents do.
Yes.
And the smartest thing, an enthusiastic and qualified educator can do is to form a close relationship with parents in the knowledge that, we've got this incredible honour to help educate their child. And so the more we understand the child, the more the parents can share with us, the more we can draw upon the child's strength and help them develop in a way that really does reflect their ability and their capacity. So, it's also a way of protecting the Aboriginal culture, which is at the heart of it as well. So there's a real sense of wanting to honour the child by honouring the family and staying close. And in doing that, we get to know them really well, and we get to work out where their strengths are, how we can help them. And there's a healthy accountability that comes with that too.
Mm. Now, it's a Christian school. Is it necessary for the parents of the children to be Christians to come to the school?
No, it's not essential. And we attract families from a wide range of contexts. Probably what's common in all of them is just a discerning sense of we want our kids to have a really good education. And for CAPS, that's part of their vision. This sense of, what does an excellent education look like for our young people? So they don't have to be Christian, but perhaps not surprisingly, Christianity is imbued with many, let me call them positive provocations. The concept of forgiveness, the concept of gratitude, the concept of faith and faithfulness, the concept of character. There are so many helpful Bible stories. There are so many insights to people's conduct in difficulty and adversity where you look at it and you go, wow, I'd like to be more like that. And for us, at the heart of it all is a person who gave up his life for others, arguably no greater expression of love. So we attract families who want their kids to be of great character.
Right. And obviously to attract students from such a wide range, is it all by word of mouth or do you actually promote the school or how does that happen?
Yeah, it's predominantly word of mouth. We go out and in a context of being connected to community, we'll go out and we'll visit some community centres, but it's predominantly word of mouth. Last week I received a call from a past colleague who's 2.5 hours northeast of Alice Springs, and he had family members come and speak to him, remote community family members saying, we want to connect with CAPS Coolgardie. He looked up CAPS Coolgardie and then discovered that I was a principal here and it made for an easy conversation. So it's actually predominantly word of mouth. But can I just say, just as a refreshing, really affirming and positive aspect, particularly of the Wongai mob, they're so humble. They're not into self-promotion, but they're absolutely committed to the well-being of young people and absolutely committed to where they are now and where they'll be in the future. And that passion, that tenacity to make a difference without broadcasting says something about the heartfulness in which they work and in which they care for the community. So it's predominantly word of mouth.
And is the CAPS model, one that could be easily replicated and used somewhere else, is
Yes, and it is, but as always, it comes down to the heartfulness and the purposefulness behind it.
Mm.
CAPS, you know, has a within its vision, it takes a lighthouse approach that says we want our kids, we want our young people to be a lighthouse for others and to be a source of light and a source of support and to build strength into their communities and leadership into their communities. With that kind of heartfulness, yes, it's replicatable, but the heart's got to be right. You know, we could be clever. There's past requests for CAPS to go into other communities. And just a discerning sense of, well, if we do, we want to make sure that the dynamic is right, that there is a sense of service and that people want to engage in that space for all the right reasons. Just quietly, Alan, if CAPS gets attracted to a surf break, you know, somewhere like Noosa Margaret River, I'd find it very difficult to say no, particularly if you know anything about my enjoyment of surfing. And just on that, when the kids first interviewed me, they said, "Mister, what's your hobby?" And when I said surfing, I drew these kind of blank looks of, "Huh? What are you doing here?" But I assured them I was up for any adventure and any new challenge. But CAPS has already been invited to consider going into other communities. And I know for the board of governance, there's a big picture, a national sense of how do we serve the Australian community well? How can our Aboriginal young people help transform Australia in a most positive way?
Mm. Now, I was very intrigued there when you were just talking that the kids interviewed you.
Yes. Yeah, they wanted to know a little bit about me and about my family and I'm a visitor in the land that I'm on. I'm not an original owner, and actually, just going back to what I shared about the different communities that come in, we have kids from quite literally three different states. They come from their lands, and so we're guests. And so the way I shared it with the students and what they understand is I'm a guest in our community together and they're guests in the local Wangai community land space. And so there's a kind of shared sense of, oh, yeah, well, you know what, we're in this together. And so people matter. And that's another aspect that I love about their community. They want to know people and that if you're in community, it matters to them, and there's opportunities for drawing upon each other's strengths to do something great.
Mm. Now, I assume you teach Aboriginal language at the school, do you?
We don't at present. We have done in the past, not negating in our community, for many of our students, English is a second or third or fourth language.
Yes.
So there are multiple dialects that could be taught in our community. Every now and then I draw unintended laughter when I try and describe something in the local Wangai language, which inevitably I pronounce incorrectly. English is a share point of sorts where we've got some common reference, but actually each of us try and find a way of just connecting in with each other's community. Most recently, for example, one of our broom staff, Aboriginal broom staff, helped me say hello or a welcome in her local dialect, which is Watnau. I practice that for a while and when I'm home with family, they look at me rather confused, wanting to answer me, but I'm saying, no, I'm just giving you a welcome in a local broom dialect. So within the school, there's a shared sense of, you know, how do we respect each other? How do we enjoy what's in common, but also respect each other's differences and the nuances between mobs?
Mm. Yes. The different mobs are very very strong in themselves, but they integrate quite well.
Yeah, especially out on the on a grass patch. Yeah. So look, just a brag point for the young women in our school. As an ex-phys-edder, I encourage them. Don't be shy of the football if you see it come out. Well, I didn't need to say that. In most cases, they can kick further than I can.
Yes.
So, you know, so of shared language. You know, if sport is a language of sorts,
yes,
that's common amongst us. Mm. If a sense of humour, you know, what do they say about having a sense of humour? It's, you know, a smile is the shortest distance between two people. They're not shy of smiling.
No.
They have a great sense of mischief, which on some days, you know, can test the limits sometimes. But there's a shared sense of, yeah, that's right, we're in community together and we can enjoy this space together and make accommodations for each other as we all seek to grow and become stronger. So there are many common languages in that sense, and I don't just mean it in terms of an oratory language.
Yep. And what are the prospects if they want to go into further education?
Yeah. Well, you know, at the moment we have three campuses. Two of them, one of them at Wongatha and Esperance, dedicated to vocational education. So that is their further education. And for year 10, 11s and 12s, they're engaged in certified, nationally recognised courses that take them straight into employment if that's the direction in which they want to go. At CAPS Coolgardie, we've built pathways that can give them access to a tertiary education if they choose to go on into tertiary education. And that includes local engagement with the local TAFE in Kalgoorlie. So, there are pathways here. If I can, Al, just to share a narrative, you know, they talk about Coolgardie as being a place historically where gold was.
Mm.
Well, my experience is the gold's still here. It's in the kids and it's in their culture. And it's about, you know, it's about discovering the cleverness that they have. And for us, what should always be a model in education, that is wrap around the education to help the individual excel and show the true capacity they have.
Yep. Yes, as I was saying, I had some friends, Wongai friends in Menzies, and he was one of the smartest men I've ever come across. He could put his hand to just about anything. And he took us through the bush one day in a vehicle. And there was no track, there was no road, and I'm thinking, you know, how are we ever going to get back? But we ended up exactly where he intended to go, and we got back without a road, which I found amazing.
They're very clever. Can I just share two brief examples? I started a class where I was inviting the Minister for Education, the new Minister for Education, to come out and visit CAPS Coolgardie. If he's listening, by the way, that invitation remains warmly open. I had a young girl, a 13-year-old, her name is Rachel, and I started the class helping set them up to do an interview and to invite the minister. Such was her intervention in a supportive way. I just did a handover, and she then coached our other students into what to say. And I just stood back and I just thought, wow, she just had incredible leadership skills. She has them and was able to bring students into their best light, which I was just absolutely impressed by. But there are many examples of students like that who just have, like I say, great cleverness. And when one other example, same class, and one of the young students looked at me and said, I'm going to become a doctor. And I have absolutely no doubt that's where she will go, and that's what she will do. There was a strength and a tenacity in the way that she said it, which just reflected incredible conviction and a strong sense of purpose.
Mm. Well, it's been fantastic talking with you, Des, and I'm sure that many people listening probably have not heard of the great work that you do up there in CAPS in Coolgardie, and perhaps we could have you on again one time, and we could perhaps talk to some of your teachers or students and get their angle on their education.
There are some students and staff here who would love to share more with you. And on that, I must default to them, to the early pioneers, to the community that make CAPS happen and make it a reality. Great cleverness, great sense of purpose, great humility, and actually a deep affection for the wider community.
Thank you very much, Des. We'll be in touch, and certainly we'll be speaking to you again. Thank you.
Wonderful.
This is Des Mitchell from Coolgardie CAPS School, and you're listening to IPL Radio.